This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. We're a few days away from the governor's election, as in three, and it's a runoff between John Bel Edwards and Eddie Lee Rasponi. And Mary Patricia Ray is with us, the strategist who helped John Bel Edwards win the mansion in 2015, and she will talk about this election as an independent practitioner, although I think we know where she stands on this election. John Bel Edwards is in a tough race with a newcomer, 70-year-old Eddie Lee Rasponi, who's never run for office, made a lot of money, supposedly worth $40 million, and spending about 15 of that on his own campaign, and it is a horse race. And the President of the United States will make his second appearance since the primary Thursday night in Bossier City in the backyard of Jeff Sado, the LSU Shreveport political scientist, another of our favorite guests, who, of course, leans right. And Jeff Sado, how do you see the race with a few days to go?
Well, still a toss-up. You look at some of the recent polling gives Edwards a slight edge, but you know, I have to join the chorus with a lot of other people saying that this one's going to be all about turnout.
All about turnout. And when you say all about turnout, what do you mean?
Whichever side can do the best job of mobilizing its likely supporters. You don't get a lot of change of mind after the general election and the runoff. So particularly if you're in Rasponi's shoes, you're going to have to, if the polls are telling us what they're telling us, especially Rasponi's going to have to go out there and generate or what you might call new voters, people that didn't vote in the primary, but can get them out to the runoff.
Mary Patricia Ray, of course, saw David Vitter go down in flames and helped the cause back in the year of 2015. And 4 years ago, Mary Patricia, there was an air of an inevitability that John Bel Edwards was going to win. You could feel it coming. And this time around, I think there's a lot of concern in the Edwards camp, and I'm sure you believe that concern is justified. What's going on?
Well, in 2015, at this time, in that cycle, we were busy on the campaign giving non-traditional John Bel Edwards voters the permission to either stay home or to vote for John Bel Edwards. And that included, the Jefferson Parish Republican set, the Jay Darden conservative here in Baton Rouge. And so those voters are really key for John Bel. He has to maintain his numbers from 2015 and grow them because turnout is larger to keep the same ratio of the total vote. And those folks need permission to vote for a Democrat in a deeply red state. And I think that's what he's looking to give them with this last bio piece that he's closing out the campaign on, permission to be with the veteran, permission to be with the quarterback. And I think he's hoping that's going to keep those people that are definitely coming to vote in line with him. And hopefully the negative messages out there will depress some of the folks that would otherwise show up. But it's a different game, same strategy, and just got to turn that strategy up.
In the primary, the turnout was reportedly 26.5% of the total voters from African Americans. The governor probably needs better than that this time around. What has been done to stimulate minority turnout?
Well, I think you're seeing a lot of elected officials get involved with the GOTV effort on the Edwards side, and it shows in early voting, 31% of the total vote was African American. It's unlikely that that will be the vote share of African Americans after Saturday, but it was important to get ahead before Saturday. And, frankly, the African-American vote is no longer the issue for Governor Edwards. It is those voters you need to give permission to that we were just talking about that are now the big focus, I think.
Professor Sado, tomorrow night the president will be in your neck of the woods, and he'll be campaigning mightily for Eddie Rasponi, as he did in the primary. Well, it was a joint endorsement in the primary. Odd, but it may have actually helped the runoff, there being a runoff. But this time he's full-throated for Rasponi. Ralph Abraham, I'm sure, will be there. How much can the president help?
Well, again, that's a matter of boosting turnout for your favorite candidate. You're not going to change minds, really, at this point. Trump's popular in Louisiana. He's very popular in Northwest Louisiana, Caddo Parish accepted. So, yeah, this is part of the strategy to get people out to vote that otherwise didn't seem interested enough or had other things going on in October. Make new voters in essence. And how successful he can be in that, it can be. It's not a panacea by any means, but there'll be a few extra voters out of these efforts.
Well, I had a discussion the other day from a person following the race, covering the race, and he asked me, how much will this help? And I said, it might help half a percentage point, but a half of a percentage point could determine the outcome.
Yeah, this is, again, close race, so that's certainly true. You know, you look at kind of the math, and let's throw in early voting. Basically, Edwards has to get one out of every 11 or so voters, people who didn't vote for him or Rasponi in the general election, assuming they all vote again, and there are no new voters. So, in an election environment like that, every little bit's going to help either candidate, whether it's early voting for Edwards or the president coming for Rasponi.
Now, that's assuming the election has exactly the same demographics as the primary, and it's not going to be the case. In fact, it looks like, surprisingly, and actually this is an encouraging thing, turnout is going to be higher for the runoff than it was in the primary, maybe a little bit, could approach 50%. And last time, as we know, it was right around 40. Mary Patricia Ray, what's driving turnout?
After many, many months of these ads on the air, I think there's a sense of urgency about this race that wasn't there in the primary. You can see it in the early vote turnout. And in fact, I think the urgency is most evident by the increase in African-American turnout. People just understanding that this is an office that does control a lot of our daily lives and has a lot of impact on what the legislature is going to do, what bills can pass and which ones can't, and what policies are gonna happen or stay in place or be eroded. And, in 2014, we saw extremely high African-American turnout for Mary Landrieu. And, of course, she won in a statewide election against Republican, new Republican, John Kennedy. But we have a lot of factors from these other races where we try to compare these things that just don't fit anymore, right? Because that was the last time we saw extremely high early vote turnout for African Americans was 2014 in terms of a total vote share.
I think 2014 was Cassidy and Landrieu.
Well, whatever year Mary won, right? The year, the good year.
But that was 08. That was the Obama year.
Yes, so. Obama. It was Obama year. You're right. And so there you go. We have a factor that's just not comparable to – this is a very odd election. It's not – you can't really compare it well to others. The factors that helped us see patterns in prior elections aren't there. Turnout is up, up, up. It was up in 2018. I mean, I just think we're seeing new chronic voters across the state we didn't have in 2015. And it's a challenge for both of these gentlemen that are running because they have new voters with unpredictable patterns of turnout and unpredictable patterns of party loyalty. And so they're going to have to really personalize this would be my tip to both of them. And I think they've tried to do that in these final weeks.
Now, Jeff Satto, the outcome in Kentucky is being viewed as an encouraging thing to some supporters of the governor. But was Kentucky an aberration where a Democrat won in a red state?
Well, it's kind of an interesting mirror image here. You have in Louisiana, Edwards running well ahead of every other Democrat for lower-level state executive offices. In Kentucky, you had the opposite. You had the Republicans running well ahead of their guy at the top of the ticket. So really, in both instances, I think it's candidate, more candidate-specific factors and ideology and partisanship play a little lesser role. So in a sense, they're kind of the same, but in a mirror image. But in terms of there being a wave or a trend for one party or the other, I don't see that in either case.
And in Kentucky, Mary Patricia, it was a governor with a record, and some believe a very controversial record. The thing that Eddie Rasponi has going for him is he has no record. And I think this is a plus, is that it's hard to pin him down on anything that he has voted for. And he's been very cautious about taking positions.
Well, it's a plus in a couple of ways. And comparable to Kentucky, it's easier to give people permission to vote for you when you are the newcomer. I mean, that's what we saw. The conservatives in northern Kentucky, south of Cincinnati, had permission to vote for whoever they needed to vote for in that race to just not go on with the status quo. And the other reason that it's a positive for him to not have any record is that, look, it's not a dirty secret. It's an openly known secret in political consulting that negative mailers are meant to, negative messaging is meant to depress vote. It's easier to do that if you're Eddie Rasponi.
We'll return with more from Mary Patricia Ray on the left and Jeff Sado on the right after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing with Kirby Ferries. And in studio is Mary Patricia Ray of Top Drawer Strategies, a lawyer who led John Bel Edwards to victory in 2015, is now working as an independent practitioner in political consulting. And Jeff Sado, who for about three decades has been large and in charge at LSU Shreveport in the political science department, a blogger and person recognized by the Washington Post, of all places, as having one of the best blogs about Louisiana politics. And Jeff Sado and Mary Patricia Ray are assessing the governor's election. And this is coming in conjunction with impeachment proceedings starting against the president in the United States House of Representatives. The president will be in Bossier City tomorrow night, stumping for Eddie Rasponi. How much, Jeff Sado, does impeachment play in this? Could it help or hurt the president in making his case for a candidate for office in this great state of Louisiana?
Well, purely electoral political terms, I think it helps very slightly in the sense that, you have a president that many are going to see as unfairly embattled by a very partisan, basically issueless, contentless impeachment procedure. So there may be a few people out there that see him as being put on in this way, and they're going to transfer that to a conservative Republican like Rasponi. But again, it's going to be very marginal, any kind of assistance that's going to give Rasponi.
What do you think, Mary Patricia?
Well, the Trump factor looms large in this election, but we only have 2 or 3% of voters undecided that are likely to show up. So anything that looms large is a small percentage of what's going to actually turn out or happen on Saturday. And it is true that every half a percent definitely matters. Impeachment on everyone's mind, delaying the airing of our show today, which is great. I'm glad NPR listeners across the universe will be tuned in and paying attention to get all the facts. But I think it's like everything with Trump. It's a double-edged sword. While it may help some, it could also end up firing up the base of John Bel Edwards in a way that's I think predictable as well. And so it could end up being a wash.
Well, it's interesting to be with you tonight, and that's because of the impeachment proceedings. And we know some listeners are adjusting their schedules, and we're glad Jeff Sado and Mary Patricia Ray are live and in studio a few hours before the actual airing of this program. But Jeff Sado, as we look at 2019, is this, if the Democrats cannot win this time, is this a death knell for the Democratic Party in Louisiana?
Yeah. I would say it would make things very difficult going forward. You know, I think the writing is on the wall anyway in 4 years, absent some seismic change in political forces. You know, one of the reasons that I think there is a greater interest in this election is there's a sense of urgency on both sides. One, in that it's this kind of rear guard action. Here we are holding on. With the governor, we have a legislature that's going to be, in all likelihood, two-thirds majority Republicans in both houses, no control of any other part of state government. You have, on the other side, people who think that the state has been retarded long enough. It needs to move forward, and a Democratic governor would be an impediment to that. So, you know, let's get this out of the way and get going. We don't want to wait four more years. So I think a lot of that's driving the greater interest in this contest. But, yeah, this is definitely an inflection point in a sense, but in I'd say long-term prognosis for Democrats, at least, you know, throughout the rest of the decade, is not that great in Louisiana.
Now, I recall the Democratic Party making the same case in 1991 when David Duke brought all the GOP candidates to the floor with him, except for Fox McKithen, who barely beat Doug Schmidt. And then, lo and behold, 5 years, 4 years later, Mike Foster gets elected as a Republican. So you never really know. But Mary Patricia, I think the professor is correct. If the Democrats lose this one with an incumbent governor whose popularity numbers were high, how running against, let's face it, a political unknown, how in the world can they win anything else?
Well, I'm more optimistic in that I think we're in the dark ages for the Democratic Party in Louisiana already, which means what comes next is a renaissance. And it's tough because you have to do something different if you want to get a different result. I think we saw the first blooms of that renaissance with Governor John Bel Edwards, who is a very moderate Democrat and for many Democrats doesn't quite cut it. But he is a bridge to somewhere for the Democratic Party. And I think that somewhere will drive better candidate recruitment, more people that will make great candidates being interested in running as Democrats at all levels of government. And, you know, we have a pretty reliable two-party system in this nation and in this state. And, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth. And I think those who stay out of the pendulum's way generally do the best, which means, you know, the candidates like John Bel Edwards, the moderates have to be a bridge to somewhere that the Democrats want to go. And they also need to know where they want to go. And I think that's a big question for them to answer no matter what happens in this election. With a conservative legislature, they're going to have to really choose carefully what their goals are.
When the governor was asked at the Baton Rouge Press Club a few weeks ago if this was his last race, he would not say it was, which probably means it's not his last race. Now, if he wins re-election, he would have to sit out 4 years if he wanted to run for governor. But he also could run for another office. And if he loses, it's obviously going to be close. If he loses, he's not going to be embarrassed. I think the floor for both candidates right now is at 48. That's the least either candidate will get. But if he loses, Tracy at the Capitol asked, would he run against Bill Cassidy next year?
Well, I mean, I disagree with you about the reason for John Bel Edwards' answer that he wouldn't say it was his last race, and that is because he is a student of political history, especially his own history, and he has already called out many people who said they would not run for other things or leave their current office for having done so. And he's a careful attorney. I've sat in a deposition that he was part of on an education lawsuit, and I've seen that he answers questions very, very carefully. So I don't necessarily think that implies an intent to do anything other than to CYA and make sure that if he chooses to run for something, that's a race I'd love to see. Frankly, I'd love to see him as governor for 4 years, but I'd love to see a Bill Cassidy, John Bel Edwards race. I think it would be a really exciting one.
Well, and of course it'd be during a presidential election, which would mean high turnout. And Bill Cassidy got 56% of the votes against Mary Landrieu in an off year. So you would think that 56 is the best that Cassidy's going to do, and it would be John Bel Edwards' task to bring him down to 50, which, as we know, would be hard but not impossible. And John Bel Edwards, if he loses, Jeff Satto, is he through? Is he toast? Or is there a resurrection in the offing for him?
Historically, we look at Louisiana governors, that's basically the peak of their political careers is holding that office, and then they fade away to varying degrees. Especially the Democrat in this particular environment, if we're talking about national office, and really, I mean, that'd be the direction to go, I think. It would be tough. One of the reasons why he's been able to hang on and is in a position to win re-election is because as governor, he can to some degree insulate himself from national issues and larger national political trends, and particularly the severe leftward lurch that the National Democrats have taken. So it's going to be much harder for him to insulate himself from that if he runs for a national-level office. So I think it would be a heavy lift for him to defeat Cassidy or even win an open seat at some point if that would come open, given the current political environment in Louisiana and the country as a whole.
Well, he could do what Cassidy did and what Kennedy did and what Trump did. He could switch parties, but John Bel Edwards had that opportunity. He was asked by the president to switch parties, and he opted not to. We'll talk more with Jeff Saddo and Mary Patricia Ray for another segment about the election this Saturday, and hopefully turnout will be over 50%. We'll discuss what's going on in the home stretch between Eddie Risponi and John Bel Edwards after this pause. This is Jim Inksterth. Pleased you're listening to Talk Louisiana. Different time today, but we have two of our favorite guests, Professor Jeff Saddo from LSU Shreveport and Mary Patricia Ray of Top Drawer Strategies, on opposite sides of the political spectrum. But they, of course, are seasoned professionals, and I think both of them are expecting a very tight race. And the latest poll, each day there seems to be a new survey, and this one from UNO has 49-49, so that would be potentially a photo finish. You know, people say it could be a long night, could be a long night. Well, it won't be a long night if it's 51-49, because that would mean several thousand votes between the candidates. But if it's 50-50, it could be a race like Landrieu and Jenkins in 1996, when Mary Landrieu beat Woody Jenkins by 5,788 votes for the Louisiana U.S. Senate seat that had been held by Bennett Johnston. But we'll see. It all comes down to turnout Saturday, and both candidates are trying to stimulate the voters most likely to vote for them, which would mean conservatives for Eddie Risponi, white conservatives, and minorities for Governor John Bel Edwards. Now, John Kennedy opted not to run. Jeff Saddo, I know this man well enough to know that he's wanted to be governor since he was in high school with Zachary. I bet he's kicking himself that he did not run.
You know, I mean, Kennedy is in Risponi's age range. You know, I suppose it wouldn't be a stretch to say, yeah, you know, he could go have gone for it. But at the same time, you know, U.S. Senator is nothing to sneeze at in that kind of office. And particularly his adeptness with the media, you know, I think maybe he's satisfied where he's at with this somewhat national platform, power and prestige that goes with that particular office. So, you know, I'm sure that he thinks about it. I'm sure that it's something that he may have some regrets about. But you know, in the end, I think just in his perspective, where he's at has even more tangible rewards than what could have happened. And, of course, again, you know, who knows, something weird might have happened and he wouldn't have won this election against Edwards. So I think there are fewer regrets than there is satisfaction in his mind about that decision right now.
Would he have won, Mary Patricia?
He would have been a very formidable candidate, and we would have had an incredibly different race between two men who have at times in their careers transcended party, some literally. and you know, it would have just been a more interesting race about records and personalities and that kind of thing. We also wouldn't have had this sort of outsider self-funder vibe to this race that we've had with Eddie Risponi. It would have been an incredibly interesting race. I think that he would have had a lot more trouble getting allegiance from Donald Trump, just based on where he was at that time when he would have decided to run for governor in his relationship with the president. And it's much more fun for John Kennedy to be on cable news every night and standing next to Trump at the rally being the hype man than it is to have to. And that honestly is what he's really good at. He's really good at the folksy witticisms, the buddy Romerisms, as I call them.
Attention, but he also got a lot of criticism for saying it must suck to be that dumb, talking about the Speaker of the House. Some thought that was beneath Senator Kennedy to make a statement like that. What do you think?
Well, I think it was certainly a gendered statement, but nothing that I'm not used to seeing as a professional woman here in Louisiana. Things that people would never say about a man, they tend to say about a woman, and that's just sort of how it is. We all learn to deal with it in our own way, but I don't think any kind of publicity is beneath John Kennedy, and I mean that truly as a political compliment. He knows what he's doing in front of the press, and it's all on purpose. There are no accidents.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'll be running for re-election to the Senate in 2022. Then he might be running for governor in 2023 if John Bel Edwards wins. That's if he wins. And don't be surprised if John Neely Kennedy runs for president of the United States in 2024, and we'll hear more sound bites like this one.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi is trying to impeach him. I don't mean any disrespect, but it must suck to be that dumb.
Now, at rallies, people get carried away, and one of those who did was Kyle Ardoin, the Secretary of State, who by law is not supposed to be endorsing candidates. But he sure sounded like he was endorsing Donald Trump and Eddie Rasponi at the rally last week in Monroe. Jeff Sato, what do you make of this?
Well, Ardoin, of course, he's running for re-election, too. I don't really think he crossed that line, but at the same time, it's from his electoral perspective, it's not a bad idea to remind people that, he's running, and, he's associated with these guys in a very friendly environment. So, I think that's where that came from.
He is running for re-election. Jeff Sato notes correctly that Kyle Ardoin is on the ballot Saturday against Gwen Collins Greenup, the person he beat in a runoff for the special election held when Tom Shedler left and Kyle Ardoin won. Any problems for Mr. Ardoin, either legally or politically, as a result of him giving what was, I think, a full-throated backing of the President of the United States last week, Mary Patricia?
He's going to argue he didn't do what he's not supposed to do. We have a Republican Secretary of State, and it's an elected office. And to think that they're not going to be involved in party politics as long as it's an elected office is kind of madness.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle is pretty safe. He's not really facing a big challenge, and so he's pretty safe to do what he wants.
But it shows you how disinterested the electorate is.
It is interesting to me that there were so few women on the stage, and are always so few women on the stage at these events, even when they go to states with lots mm-hmm. of women elected officials who it'd be very easy to ask to speak and ask to participate.
Well, and one of those who was given the chance to be on the stage, who opted out a few times of late, is Billy Nungesser, who found a way to go to Germany to promote tourism this week. And Billy Nungesser has stated that he wants to be as neutral as possible because he has to work with the governor, whoever it is, whether it's Governor Rasponi or Governor Edwards. Some people are going to blast the lieutenant governor for doing this, but is that a smart play, Jeff Sato, or should Billy Nungesser be right there with Kyle Ardoin and all the other Republican elected officials, Mike Strain, go down the list, who are there to greet the President of the United States, who, after all, is the leader of their party?
Well, I suspect, unlike the other officials you named, Nungesser's got his eye on a different office, potentially, in 2023. If he looks, maybe 2027, depends on what happens this Saturday, but I think he's got his eye on a certain office sometime in the future, and given what that competition would be in the future, other of his fellow Republican office holders, statewide office holders in the state, I think he's trying to position himself a little differently than they are. They have that space, so to speak, and I think just naturally, not just politically speaking, but also just his own belief system, I think Nungesser wants to put himself in a little different space, and I think that this is one way of doing
it. Well, he will possibly be running for governor in 2023 if Eddie Rasponi does not win. But let's say that happens, that John Bel Edwards ekes one out against Rasponi. Who are the Republicans lining up to run in 2023, Jeff?
Well, I think Nungess is certainly one of them. I think Jeff Landry would be another. Maybe Sharon Hewitt, kind of depends on what happens next 4 years in the Senate. She might end up as the president of the Senate. That would certainly be a nice little launching pad for her. There'll be some others. The GOP bench is looking much better than it has in the last few years. So, but yeah, I'd certainly throw out those names as very early contenders to succeed a second Edwards term.
Could be Garrett Graves. Could be Drew Brees. Which he would be. He is apparently considering getting into Louisiana politics, and I don't know how he would be defeated. He would be tough to beat no matter which party label he ran under, but I understand he is a conservative, unlike his coach, Sean Payton, who is a liberal. But imagine that. They get together and do a good job running the Saints offense. But speaking of football, Mary Patricia Ray, LSU's number one, Ohio State, the
Go
Ohio
Bucks.
State University is number two, your alma mater.
Mm-hmm. I'm so, looking forward to a inauguration day national championship in New Orleans.
January 13th.
That will feature,
it all happens the same day,
That will feature
it?
Ohio State just beating the pants off of LSU.
Oh,
I cannot
my God.
Wait. I'm way pumped. It's going to be better than any gubernatorial ball that could ever be thrown, any inauguration ball. I will go to the national championship in a scarlet and gray ball gown if I have to.
Goodness.
Whatever it takes, I will be there, Jim.
January
I will not miss
13th. Now, some lawmakers, last time this happened, and the championship game, by the way, is in New Orleans. They wanted the inauguration to be moved, and I remember Glenn Kemp said, well, it's in the Constitution. You can't move it.
It is.
But that would be interesting to see LSU in the championship game in New Orleans, which may happen on January 13th, and either Governor Rasponi or Governor Edwards taking the oath, Jeff Sato.
Yeah, that would be, as you should say, it's not unprecedented, but that'd certainly be interesting, although I would favor seeing a different champion. That'd be the Oklahoma Sooners.
That's your alma mater. Well,
you know, yeah. I could get on that train, Jeff. I could get on that train.
Well,
or wagon, as the case may be.
They have lost. But Jeff also, I think, has a degree from Vanderbilt, which is where John Neely Kennedy was educated back when he was not serving the United States in Southeast Asia. But Jeff Sato, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for your insights. And thank you, Mary Patricia Ray.
Thanks for having us, Jim. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with Robert Greene, the fabulous author, after this timeout.